So in this text called Dhyana Swarupam, which is an introduction to meditation, we have covered five verses so far. And basically what they're saying is meditation is not an activity. It's not something you do. It's something you are. You are of the nature of pure existence, consciousness, bliss. That is my true nature. And to abide in that nature, to stay in that nature, is meditation. And we had talked about that last week in more detail. What is my true nature and how do I abide in that? So staying with that understanding, not only in the 20 minutes that I sit for meditation or half an hour, but throughout the day, that is meditation. Meditation is not an activity. It's not a prayer. Even though prayer helps, you know, invoking a Lord's grace helps, but it is not a prayer. It is not even chanting the name of the Lord. Chanting of the name of the Lord also helps in quietening the mind. But the goal of meditation is when my mind is quiet, I go inward and feel my true nature as existence, consciousness, bliss. Because we are all essentially divine beings. We are all essentially Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who at this moment has taken on a body and a name of Diana or Julia or Anil, whatever name I have, whatever form, male or female. But essentially, we are all that Om, that divine spirit. And understanding that and staying in that state, abiding in that state, is meditation. If you wish to listen to previous talks, especially last week, we had talked quite a bit about the practice of about abiding in the state. You can go to the website firstpower.info. So today we'll do verse number 6, which is on page 29, which will talk about some of the obstacles. When I sit for meditation, why does my mind run? And we all have noticed that we sit down and the mind runs either into the past or into the future or gets worried about what I'm going to do, what I have done. So why does the mind run? And why, even though we hear from the book and from the, you know, that I am of the nature of, I'm the pure spirit, I am existence, but I am not able to abide in that. Why am I not able to abide in that? So we'll talk a little bit about verse number 6. Swarupe dridha nishthaye. Swarupe dridha nishthaye. Yatante sadhaka janaha. Dhyanabhyasen tasyaiva. Siddhanto varnyate dhuna. So, swarupe dridha nishthaye. To dridha nishtha means to abide firmly in my own nature. As we said, we are of the nature of permanent existence, consciousness, bliss. I am that divine spirit. But why am I not able to abide? What it says, to abide in that. Yatante sadhaka janaha, page 29. So yatante, so sadhaka, these people who are meditators, who are seeking this truth, they yatante, they put effort. They all put effort and we all sit down in the morning and say, you know, we chant the name of the Lord and then we try to go in the inner silence, but we are not able to do that. So why is that and what is the solution? We'll cover that a little bit today. Dhyan abhyasena. The practice of dhyana means meditation. Abhyasa means the practice of meditation. Siddhanto. The principles are varnyate adhuna. They are now being explained. They're now explaining the principles of meditation. So as Swamiji says in the book, there are two reasons why my mind doesn't stay. When I sit for meditation, one is the vasanas and second is the fickleness of the mind. Vasanas, as we know, are my pre-existing tendencies, my habits, which not only we have accumulated in this lifetime, but also we are born with vasanas. That's what we believe, that because of multiple births, I have some pre-existing vasanas which I'm born with. Like a child may have three children from the same parents. One has an interest in music, one has an interest in sports, and another one learns, loves to read. How did that happen? You know, the parents brought them up the same way. Why is one become a good musician, one a sportsman, and one a scholar, and the fourth one does nothing? You know, he just, why is that? It is because of previous tendencies. And it is these vasanas which propel, and especially if the vasanas tendencies are selfish. I have selfish tendencies, I have a desire to acquire, to possess, then it agitates my mind and the mind gets disturbed. And when the mind is disturbed, then it cannot stay silent in meditation. And if my mind cannot be silent, obviously I cannot abide in my true nature. So how do we overcome the vasanas? This is, of course, a very big subject, but we'll just cover it in brief. Vasanas, as we said, are our tendencies. And we may have strong tendencies, like somebody loves to eat, somebody has, you know, sensual desire, somebody has a desire to shop, to possess, somebody has a desire to get power, you know, wants to be the most powerful person, wants to be the most successful businessman. And then because I have this desire to acquire, to possess, then what happens? I develop selfishness, I develop, you know, pride, I develop jealousy. I'm proud of what I have accomplished. I'm jealous of somebody who has accomplished more. Then I develop greed and hatred and anger, and all those things come one after the other. So they say first thing is to become aware. Okay, I have this tendency. You know, there may be some good desires, you know, to have desire to help, to desire to serve. Those are good. But if I have these negative tendencies in me, and we all know, you know, anybody else may not know, but I know what is my weakness, what is my fault, or when I sit for meditation, why does my mind go away? Because I am so much attached to my work or to my family or to my possessions, to my dog or cat, that, you know, that's all I think about. So become aware what is my tendency and then start putting effort. Once I know that I have this, and especially if it is a negative tendency, like some people say, I get angry very easily, I get very upset, I am, you know, very selfish, I don't like to share, I have a lot of hatred, you know, those kind. So become aware of them and start putting effort. So the moment you find that these tendencies are arising in me, maybe it's a tendency for food, you know, anything that is overtaking my mind, where my mind is not thinking of anything else but that particular thing. First thing is to become aware and then start putting effort. Consciously make an effort that I should not indulge in this thing. If I have a tendency to get angry, then I work on the anger. Okay, so today I'm, from today onwards, whenever I get at this, you know, this thing, I go to the source, I go to the cause, why do I get angry? And then I consciously work on that. So put in the effort and invoke the grace of God. I think these tendencies are sometimes are so powerful, you know, especially somebody gets addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or, you know, pain medicine or sleep medicines. These are such powerful addictions that sometimes it becomes difficult to conquer them oneself. So you can put in effort, get the help of professionals. Maybe, you know, you can get the help of a physician or a psychologist, and then invoke the grace of God. Because when you have the Lord's grace with you, that is the most powerful support you can have. So constantly remember the Lord and say, oh Lord, I have this habit, I have this tendency, please help me to overcome it. Then it says, put others first. And that is very, very important. I think consciously one has to every day do something to help others, to make this world a better place. I should make a conscious effort that every day I have to do something that is good for others. Share something. You can share your wealth, or you can share your time, or you can share your effort. You can maybe go, there's Habitat for Humanity. People are building homes. I go and build a house. I volunteer somewhere. But putting others first, what it slowly does is reduces your selfishness, reduces your desire to possess. And that is a very powerful way to reduce the vasanas. And then satsang. Sat means good, sang means company. So the company of good people, like a group like this, where we all meet and discuss good things. You know, on Sunday we have the Gita class. where we are also, you know, meeting and discussing if there's, you know, some good saint comes or some good teacher comes to town, listening to them, reading good books. The company can be of good people or of good books. So what do you do in satsang when you receive the knowledge? First is you receive the knowledge. As I said, it could be from a book. It could be from a person. It could be from a group like this where we all meet and discuss. So first you receive, then you retain, and then you recollect. So what do you mean by retain? That means what I have heard. See, what happens most of the time, it happens to me also. I go to a lecture, I go to a talk, I hear it. At that time, it sounds very good. And the moment you walk out the door, it's gone. And then you try to recollect, what did he say? We don't remember. And that is a problem with all, including me, I agree. So it is very important to either take notes or go home and read whatever is written in the book. You can read, or as we said, it is on the website. You can listen to it again. So listening, and also what happens is that as you regularly come to these classes, the same knowledge, as you know, it gets repeated. So repeated listening, and each time you listen to a different teacher, they speak the same knowledge with a different approach, a different attitude, different language, different examples, different stories. So all those things, they get put together, and repeated, it kind of creates a groove in the mind, and then you are able to recollect. And also a very good thing is to go and tell somebody. If somebody asks, what did you listen, you know, in the class, then you sit down and say, okay, listen. And you sit down and tell the person. So when you tell somebody, that's how at least I remember. Most of it is because I get to talk to all of you. It helps me because I have to at night, you know, prepare. Then before the class, I make notes and then I speak. And then I'm on my drive home. I am rethinking what I have said. So 3 or 4 repetitions helps me to remember. So that's why I always thank my audience. Because of you, I'm able to, you know, experience such beautiful thoughts. So repeated practice of those thoughts, repeated application helps us. So listening to good subjects, listening to good teachers, listening to priests or preachers always helps, you know. And then you retain and recollect. Talking about listening, this man went to church and he actually went with the wrong intention. He had lost a hat. So he said, I'll go to church, and people, a lot of people leave their hats outside. I'm going to steal somebody's hat and take it. I'll leave the sermon a little early while the people are, and I'll take somebody's hat. He went with the wrong intention. So he went there and he listened to the priest's sermon. And after the sermon, he changed his mind. You know, he didn't steal the hat. So after everybody left, he went and told the priest, Father, your sermon was so good that I came with the intention of stealing a hat, I have to admit. But after listening to your sermon, I changed my mind. So the priest was happy, you know, at least I helped somebody. So he has spoken about the 10 commandments. So he said, oh, because I said thou shalt not steal, is that why you didn't steal the hat? He said, no, Father, you told me thou shalt not commit adultery, and I remembered where I had left my hat. So that's why he didn't steal the hat. But anyway, so getting the right knowledge, wherever you get it from, however it comes, so retain it, don't waste it, and recollect. And then regular meditation is a very, very good method to destroy your vasanas, because the vasanas is our ignorance, which keeps us from reaching our true nature. We are all of the nature of bliss existence. We are all of Om. We are all that consciousness. But having excessive vasanas prevents me from reaching that. So regular meditation helps actually to destroy vasanas and brings you closer to your true self. That's why meditation is very important. The second obstacle in meditation is fickleness of the mind. Because when I sit for meditation, my mind runs. And normally you can concentrate on anything. But the moment I sit for meditation, my mind refuses to cooperate. When I'm, you know, watching TV, oh, my mind never wanders. Or I'm on the phone listening to some gossip, Then the mind is completely focused. Remember every detail, even half an hour conversation, my friend has told me, I remember every word. But in meditation, why am I not able to concentrate? So they say the mind has a tendency to run. Mind, what happens is our mind is multi-pointed or zero-pointed. Multi-pointed means it is focused on too many things at one time. My work, my family, my this, my that. Especially early in the morning, you know, you have rested and your mind is very active. The second thing is either it is multi-pointed or it is asleep, zero-pointed. So what they say, make the mind one-pointed by slowing down. So what I do is reduce your work. A lot of unnecessary work we take on. Oh, things that are not necessary, cut down. You know, if you don't need anything, don't go to the mall. If you don't, you know, I mean, if there is a party and you're not going to enjoy going there, you don't like the people, don't go just because somebody invited you. Just stay home and reduce your activity. Certain essential activity you have to do, work and home and all. But avoid doing unnecessary activities. Look in your schedule and find out what did I do that was useless. So cut that down and reduce. When you reduce your activity, then your mind becomes more quiet because the mind is agitated because it has too much to do. And we take on extra work that we don't need, or if there's nothing else going on, we just pick up the phone and surf the net. I read somewhere that children who watch these devices before they go to sleep for 1 hour before they sleep, their sleep is disturbed because these devices, whether it's iPad, iPhone, TV, computer, any of these devices, because they have that, you know, that light and also the activity of the mind. So they have disturbed sleep. They have more problems sleeping. So especially before sleeping, do not watch the nightly news, you know, because it has a lot of murders and all. Read something good, you know, slow down the mind and practice, you know, quietening the mind, maybe chant the name of the Lord, or just do something, you know, maybe just sit in the backyard and, you know, so slow down and make your mind one-pointed. Avoid doing two or three things at one time, you know, like eating and watching TV or driving and talking on the phone. I, of course, am guilty of that, but if as much as possible, avoid doing two or three things at one time. You know, when you're talking to somebody, your full attention should be to that person. You shouldn't be texting and, you know, or looking at your phone. So do one thing at a time. If you're eating, it should only be eating. You should not be eating and reading or eating and watching TV. Pay attention to every, you know, morsel, everything you put in your mouth. So as you slow down and as you reduce the multiple activities of the mind, so your mind becomes quiet. And that kind of a mind, when it sits for meditation, if you have done throughout the day practice, so meditation is not only 20 minutes or half an hour in the morning, it is what you do in the whole 24 hours that decides how your meditation is going to be. And you must have noticed yourself on a day when you were extremely angry and agitated and over busy and then the next morning you sit and your mind is running. But if you are able to find some time to be, you know, quiet and peaceful, especially before you go to bed, lie down and just chant the name of the Lord and observe your breath and slowly quieten your mind, then not only your sleep will be more peaceful, but your mind will be more relaxed in the morning. And then sense control. Sense control does not mean that you don't enjoy, that you don't eat, drink, but living a life of moderation, not overeating, not over talking. Sense control also means not talking too much, not listening. Like I was telling in the Sunday class, one time I went to a record store. You know, nowadays they don't have those things. This I'm talking many years ago. They had this record store and I went there. And they had records and all that, or CDs on the wall. And there was some rock music playing very loud. And it was very interesting. Everybody in the store was moving to that music. The shop, the salesman who was selling and the guy who was buying and the what. So what happens is that when you constantly listen to such music, loud music, and nowadays we find people, you know, with the earphones, even when they're working out in the gym, they're listening to that. So what happens is your mind is constantly bombarded with this, you know, sense stimuli. So the more it is bombarded, the more your mind is constantly, you know, in that state of agitation. You know, I'm constantly stimulated. So control the senses, overeating, over talking, over seeing, over watching, as I said, watching too much TV, the internet, phone, talking too much on the phone. So give some time where, okay, I'm not going to do anything with the phone. I'm not going to just sit in silence, even 20 minutes or 30 minutes, if you can take out maybe after dinner or sometime at night or in the just or in the afternoon, take out 20 minutes and sit in the backyard and do nothing. And just watch and just observe, and what you will find that you will be able to quieten the mind. And then these meditation steps, all of you have heard during orientation. Those who are new will be doing it today. But when you sit for meditation, systematically go through these 7 steps. Systematically do. Sit, have had a good night's sleep, make your back erect, close your eyes, relax the body, watch the breath, chant the name of the Lord. So when you systematically and slowly and carefully go through all the meditation steps, which takes about 10 minutes, then what will happen is then your mind is ready to stay in silence. But if you just sit down and say, okay, my mind should become silent, the mind won't, because the mind has not. Also, what we find that with regular practice, by regularly practicing these meditation steps, doing regular meditation every day, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because these habits, these vasanas and this activity of the mind takes years to develop and even lifetimes. So being patient, that I have to be patient with myself. I cannot expect that suddenly I sit for meditation and from next day my mind will be quiet. It takes years of practice. But as you slowly and patiently and lovingly do that, you will find that your mind will become quiet, mind will become still, your vasanas will be reduced, and then you will be able to abide in the self, abide in the silence, and that is meditation. So abidance is not only in that 20 minutes or half an hour, but throughout the day when I am doing activities that do not require great mental focus, then I can be in that cell. Like if I'm doing the dishes, instead of worrying about, you know, oh, why do I have to do the dishes? Make it a meditative activity. Okay, I'm doing the dishes, and become an observer. Who is doing the dishes? I am. Who am I? Am I this body, mind, or intellect, or am I the self? So go inward when you're doing the laundry or doing the, you know, ironing the clothes or sweeping the floor or doing some mechanical activity that does not require much thinking, then try to abide. When you're walking on the treadmill or doing some, you know, the stairmaster or all that. So in those activities, you can abide in the self, be with yourself, and be a witness. And as you become a witness, slowly, slowly, you'll find that you'll get in the habit. Swami Ishwaranandaji once had told me that one of the most powerful spiritual exercises is to be a witness of the mind. Watch the mind, see what the mind is doing. So get in the habit of watching the mind. That is my mind at this moment happy, unhappy, agitated, disturbed, peaceful, quiet, whatever it is. I am watching the mind. I am not the mind. I am watching the mind. So as you get in the habit of watching the mind, you'll find that you are able to quieten the mind much, much better. Rather than when there's some disturbance comes, anger comes, agitation comes, then immediately I get caught up in that. And then I say something I shouldn't have said or do something I shouldn't have done. But if you are in the habit of observing the mind or watching the mind, you will see that, okay, my mind at this moment is getting angry and disturbed. Why is it? And peacefully you are able to do that. So I think that helps. So practicing all of these things throughout the day, you'll find that you will be able to abide in the self. Any questions, any comments on this?
So vasanas are from a previous life?
Yes. Vasanas can be from previous life or also can be cultivated in this lifetime also. Like you know, like for example, some tendencies I am born with and then some I accumulate in this lifetime by repeated actions, by repeatedly doing some action, like, you know, coffee. The first time you take a cup, you know, it tastes bitter. Why would anybody? Then second cup, third cup, then 4 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, then you get addicted to it. Or cigarette, or any of these habits. So vasanas can be either pre-birth, or they can be accumulated in this life, in a previous life, yes. So if you have, and that's another thing, reducing strong desires. Because if I have strong desires and I could not fulfill them in this lifetime, then they will become vasanas in my next birth. So if I have a very strong desire to do something and I couldn't accomplish it, then that will become a vasana. That will become an unmanifest tendency which I will carry. So if you want to have a strong desire for God. And that is a good vasana. That will, if it goes with you, that's good. Instead of having a strong desire for something else. So reduce likes and dislikes. Don't have too many strong desires, because the idea is to reduce them and make them as much as possible weak. And some people have very, very strong, you know, tendency. We all do. Something or the other we are very strongly attracted to. So become aware. And if it is something that is not going to help me in my spiritual journey, then I have to get rid of it. I have to reduce it. And so make a conscious effort and become aware of that, and then invoke the grace of God. Yes.
Reevaluated a lot of those in my life now.
True, right. Because what you wish for, yeah, either they'll become true or they will remain, become unmanifest vasanas. Right. And also strong likes and dislikes should be avoided. You know, I hate this, you know, those kind of things. Develop a more mellow attitude towards life. Balanced, you know, in heat and cold. Instead of complaining too much, the weather you can't do anything about. So what's the use of complaining? You know, heat and cold will be there. Health and ill health will be there. You know, I'll be healthy one day, unhealthy. So, okay, take my medicine and accept it. Joy and sorrow, success and failure, they will always be there in my life. So instead of getting too attached or affected by them, be balanced. The entire Gita, the whole teaching of the Gita is that. Sama being balanced, being equanimous in all life's situations. And problem could be with us or could be with our near and dear ones, you know. So help, do the best you can to get help. And after that, be calm and be balanced.
I think observing the mind, everything falls back into place. If you just observe the mind, your body and everything is possible. So it makes so much sense. Just to observe the mind.
Yes. Observe the mind and also observe the body. Like when you're on the treadmill, I try to do that. When I'm on the treadmill, I watch. Okay, I am not the body, but I am, because of me, this body is walking. And so just practice that. That becomes 30 minutes of meditation. I find that sometimes treadmill is such a pleasant experience. Instead of being a burden, I say, okay, I'm watching the body. And then let the body walk, but I am not the body. I am the witness of the body. In my presence, this body is functioning. So doing that makes the... And you can do that in any activity, that which doesn't require much thinking, you know, doesn't require brain power. You just are mechanically doing it.
So how do you eliminate it? I mean, you know, what I'm saying is a certain thing you're thinking about. How do you get that?
No, you can't eliminate. Like if I tell you, don't think of bananas right now. Don't think of bananas. You can't. Or don't think of camel. Immediately your camel form comes, right? So if you tell yourself, I'm not going to think of this, it will come. So you have to divert the mind. Give the mind something better to think of, like the Lord's name. Start chanting the name of the Lord and think of the form. Think of Jesus on the cross. Think of all his beautiful qualities, how loving and kind and compassionate he is, and how much he did for us. So give the mind something better to think about. And chant, start chanting, do it, maybe say the Lord's Prayer or om or chanting. So anything that will take the mind to something better, give the mind something better to think about. But do not tell the mind, don't think about it, because that's exactly what it will think. Right, right. So you have to die. Mind is like a child. Like a child is, you know, playing with some, you know, dangerous toy. If you pull it away, he'll start crying. But if you give him something better, you know, take this, then it will automatically drop. So give the mind something better to think about. I think that would work. Or sometimes it just needs a little time, you know. It doesn't happen instantly. Just let it be. Don't stress too much about it. But being a witness when you're jogging is the best attitude, where you watch the body moving. And then you say, I am not this body, I am the self. And I am the cause of this body's moving. Then it helps, I think.
So whatever in that could affect somebody.
Yeah. Well, no, flu shots are not 23% effective. That's wrong, you know. This year, flu shot is not 100%, but it's about 80 to 90% effective. But in the past, they were close to 100%. But what happens is they have to guess beforehand. And one of the viruses they missed, you know, which even the world's best experts can. But they're still very effective, though. I think flu shots everybody should take, especially if you're exposed to a lot of people. And especially as we get older, because flu shots really protect us and are very safe. So, but yeah, there is one particular virus which it didn't cover. But still, 70 to 80% of the viruses are covered. So. But yeah, you're right. Listening to commercials, because they make your mind go out. You know, oh, I must buy this car, or I must, you know, eat this restaurant. I must go get this food. I must buy this dress. So your mind, yeah, the more commercials you watch, yeah, the more your mind gets outward. So the idea is the mind, instead of going outward, should go inward. Because the further the mind goes into the objects, the further away it goes from God. Because God is within, but if my mind is running outside towards objects, then I am further away from the truth. So reduce your dependence outside and turn your mind attention inward. That is meditation. But you're right, watching commercials is definitely harmful, too much. So that's too much TV watching, obviously, because then your mind, but half of the TV is commercials, you know. If a half an hour show, about 10 minutes of it is commercial, because that's how they sell the, you know, the program, is by beer commercial, or, you know, sandwich, Carl's Jr.